Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let me first appreciate the panelists during the past few days. Their presentations were interesting and, in parallel of you, thought-provoking, and we listened to them attentively. We would like also to share some comments in this regard. We also thank you for your very open conduct of these meetings. Mr. Chairman, it is a matter of concern that a military alliance declared outer space as an operational domain. A country designated the outer space as a war fighting domain, and some other countries established space command, and these are all against the principle enshrined in the UN Charter and the 1967 Space Treaty. In such a challenging situation, the international community is facing security challenges and threats emanating from the ever-increasing weaponization and militarization of outer space. Having said that, let me share the following comments and observations. First, it is clear that any wrong act in outer space has severe consequences on Earth. In accordance with Article 2 of the Outer Space Treaty, using a space as exclusive zone is prohibited, as it stipulates that outer space is not subject to national appropriation by claim of sovereignty, by means of use or occupation, or by any other means. Beyond the observation that our distinguished colleague from China referred to with regard to the application of IHL to outer space, if we accept such an application, does a party of international armed conflict have the right to capture and detain astronauts, as most of them are members of the other party's armed forces? While the states are obliged to secure, to rescue and return astronauts as the envoys of mankind under Article 5 of the Outer Space Treaty. Second, we believe the definitions are as important as laying the foundation for any possible further work before a conduct can be labeled as responsible or irresponsible. If we are supposed to design a legal framework, it is imperative to have a common understanding with regard to basic principles in a legal binding approach. Therefore, it is vital to have a legal framework and a clear definition that elements are going to be used for responsible conduct of states. Third, the most pressing issue facing the international community with regard to outer space are the prevention of an arms race in outer space, prevention of weaponization of outer space, as well as assurances that outer space will be used solely for peaceful purposes and for the benefit of all countries, and be free for exploration and use by all states without discrimination of any kind on the basis of equality and in accordance with the international law, and facilitating encouraging of international cooperation. Fourth, the responsibility of states with regard to public and private entities, activities in space. States should be held accountable for their private companies in space. Fifth, the OST represents the basic legal framework of international space law. UNOSA has reaffirmed the following principle as the core principles of the treaty. The exploration and use of outer space shall be carried out for the benefit and in the interest of all countries and shall be the province of all mankind. And outer space is not subject to national appropriation by claim of sovereignty, by means or use of occupation, or by any other means. Policies and activities of some states are in direct violation of these principles. How those programs and policies could be perceived as in line with the principles governing the outer space? Last but not least, we have heard during this session many references were made to different aspects of prevention of an arms race in outer space. While this is an inspiring thing indicating that the importance of PAROS, however, at the same time, many references were made to responsible or irresponsible, accepted or unaccepted behaviors as if it is not taken for granted and as if there are consensus on this, on the issue of the so-called responsible behavior. If this working group is tasked to deal with some aspect of PAROS or is supposed to duplicate the work of the CD or QPOs, which are dealing with the security and safety of outer space. We should know that this is the common aspiration of the international community. This observation can continue, Mr. Chairman. However, I just referred to some of them. That is why my delegation is of the view that cherry-picking and selective approach would not be in the benefit of all countries and lead to more division. We think that any approaches that limit or prevent free access of all states, particularly developing countries, are unacceptable. The best way to tackle the threats to space or originating them from the domain is through a comprehensive and multilateral approach that would encompass all aspects related to outer space, including prevention of an arms race in outer space, prevention of militarization and weaponization of outer space, along with the commitment to explore and use outer space for peaceful purposes that can guarantee the international cooperation and capacity building, in particular for the benefit of developing countries. Mr. Chairman, having said that, this week's discussion shows that there are yet contending approaches regarding the PAROS, one which is yet firmly believes that the long-standing mandate of the PAROS in the form of negotiating of a legal binding document, and secondly, is the approach that responsible behavior, which is contested, are the best way in the way of discussing the issues related to Paris. So, in our view, the second approach should not be taken for granted in the discussion, and both contending views should be duly reflected in any outcome of this OEWG, and we hope that it also be reflected in your chair summary. I thank you, Mr. Chairman.